For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be studying, we're going to be sitting in John 17. When Pastor Barry asked me to preach, I thought, oh, John 17 is my favorite scripture. Perhaps when I read that and read that over the holidays I did, August, September, maybe the Lord will open that up for me. And the message that I'd been working on is going to happen next week. This week, we are also in John 17. But because of all the things that have surrounded so many of us, I really believe the Lord wants us to take away a couple of things, but centered on one thing. And so I'm going to read John 17, verses 22 to 26. I do have my Bible up here, but because my eyes are older, and I don't want to be that would distract me very much. I'm already holding this and trying to have eye contact with many of you. It's better that I read from my binder. No disrespect to God's word at all. John 17, verses 22 to 26. And the New King James Version. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. I don't know about you, but this week in our province and in our neighborhoods, and I've talked to many of you personally, there have been storm clouds, losses, smoke, fire, water, and I don't know anyone that hasn't been affected personally or know of someone that is in your sphere of influence that haven't been shaken by this world. And I really appreciated John's message that he gave, his exhortation for ministries, was so timely, because on Tuesday, Mr. Chris and I, on behalf of all of you, Cornerstone Church, went into Genesis Place to see what we could do, anything to help the people who were affected by the fire that was in Balzac. And we hugged people. We had smoke on our clothing. The transfer, I thought, was so telling and timely that when we really touch other people, something transfers. But their smoke were on our clothing. But guess what? The love of God was transferred to them. We couldn't do it. They didn't need anything. But I tell you, they looked in our eyes, and it was almost like that lifeline, because they were in shock. And they needed someone to come alongside who wasn't in shock and who wasn't running around because they weren't anchored. So this is what I believe God would have us hear today, the things that who we are in Him. Now, how do I illustrate this? Chris and I, you know, have done our fair share of traveling, and those of you who don't know, we have had 4 weeks away from life here, and we started with Disney, and then we went to Holland, and then we went to Germany, and all those have stories. But we have listened to the stewardesses or stewardess give us the mask demonstration so many times, and I still watch those, believe it or not. Sometimes when at the very last travel day, I will admit to watching the person more than the actual demonstration to see if something new was brought, if they were funnier, or in case, you know, they had a little trick. I noticed everyone knew how to put the mask on just like that. There's no fumbling, mind you, there was no panic either. And they knew how to tighten the thing. And I want to just say to anyone who's traveling on an airline, if I make a little remark today about life mask not working, I'm not thinking about any airline. I'm sure that they have completely done safety checks, and there's science behind it, and we're all good. Right? Mark and Tara could, if you're wondering, there they are. But the main point of all of that was always the main point. Put your mask on. Get connected to the oxygen supply before you do anything else. Why? You can't save anyone if you're struggling or if you're dead, right? You can't. So this morning, the Lord is giving us a reminder that we are connected to the life-giving flow of oxygen. And let's start with just a reminder to all of us who God is. So that would be our next slide. I couldn't think, you know what? Who is God? It's so hard to find a picture of who God is because he is just so all-powerful, omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient, all-wise, and knowing. And he exists as one God living in three persons. He's the creator of the universe. Let's look at Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell below, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. God is so amazing and so all-powerful, and that is the God who has invited us into his life, the life of the Trinity. That's our position in him. And the next slide we have, it was a big cross made up of lots and lots of faces. Because I wanted somehow to show us that we all fit. We all fit into him. And when I studied John 17, I looked at the New King James Version and the I and him and you and me, all that talks about position. And this God has invited, and his desire, Jesus' desire was that we should share in the life, the actual life of the Trinity. And he made that possible through his death and resurrection on the cross. We can't get any safer than that. And when we start with that position, it's our position now, and it takes us right into eternity. So we are presently living in him, and we will forevermore into eternity. And this life, we're brought into this life in God by our saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's first. Our spiritual position changed then from one of separation to living inside Jesus' relationship with the Father. We enter into a spiritual oneness, the unity that Jesus desired and prayed to the Father for us to live in. Verse 21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also might be one in us. There's another image which I didn't choose to put on because I couldn't find one that I thought was safe for us all. But that's an image of a mother who's expecting a child. The baby lives inside the mom, growing, sharing the same blood and oxygen supply, but it is its own person. If you think about the signs of it, it's absolutely remarkable and miraculous. The baby is kept safe inside the mama, and it's growing and loving. I was talking to a young mom today who was in labor, and she's had to wait. And another thought dropped into my head. The mom is experiencing the pain of the birth, but the baby is not. The baby is just waiting for that time. And when the time comes, the baby will be born, but the mama is going through the stuff. The baby is kept safe. So I thought, that is so great. Our John 17 speaks to Jesus' position in God. Jesus has that position in God. And our position in Jesus, our existence, the way in which we now live or function, is in Christ, in the Trinity, in the Godhead. And because Jesus lives in the life of the Father, we can live, we can partake of that because we've accepted him and we can live in that. He is the source of life within every breath that we take. Isn't that remarkable? Between every breath that we take and every spiritual breath that we take. It's a really, really big concept. But Acts speaks of that. Acts 17 verse 28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. In Christ we are connected to the source of all life, here and now to eternity." That's that oxygen mask. It's such a simplistic picture, but it's all I could think of to give us an image of what that means. Now, have you ever wondered in an airplane, and again, I have wondered, I know it's safe, if the oxygen mask would work, if the oxygen would flow, is my mask defective? I have wondered that. Maybe some of you have. But I think our minds do that. But the more we understand about our supply, our life supply in Jesus, the more we study his word, and that's going to be our next point, the more assured we will be of that. Because some of those thoughts are so theologically big. But I thought of Jesus as he walked on earth. He took the very existence of who God was, lived that, but also demonstrated in very everyday things, like loaves and fishes, and flowers and birds and lilies and children. And he made God's word come alive to us by very sometimes simple things, because he made us and he knows how we think and he knows how we live life, because he lived life. And we can be safe in Jesus. God's word again teaches us in Romans, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And things happen. I'm not going to talk about airplane crashes. That's not appropriate. But things do happen to us. And we don't live a life that is free from sorrow, circumstance, things being taken away. We sing, "You give and take away." We can only do that. We can only sing those things when we are really anchored, when we really know in our inner knower that we are so connected to the oxygen supply. This week, sorrow touched our hearts, and I had to receive, then I had to give the news to a beloved sister, and I thought, breathe. I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, "You know what you're going to talk about on Sunday. I'm just asking you to live it just a little bit. Breathe. Breathe in my life. You know we don't sorrow as those who have no hope." And hugging the people, it wasn't affecting me personally, but I thought, why can I give them comfort? Because I know that there is a Savior who loves them. And at this moment, I couldn't give anything. Chris and I prepared a room in our home on behalf of Cornerstone Church in case anyone needed a home. They didn't need it. But guess what? Like John said, sometimes you just have to show up. Sometimes you just have to be the stewardess to say, this is how you put your oxygen mask on, you know? You just have to be there. And the Lord allowed me to live putting on the mask, to live showing others to put on the mask. It was just a really remarkable week. And we need our response. I thought, what does this mean? What is our response? First of all, know who you are in Christ. Know how safe you are in Christ. Know that no matter what happens around you, like in Romans 8, you are safe with our Lord. From now into eternity, no matter what happens, you have that life. You have been promised eternal life. Now, what is our response? I put here, keep the mask on and actually breathe in the oxygen. You have to put that mask on. You have to breathe. And you can't just take a little and think, I'm good. No, you probably aren't going to be good. You have to keep breathing. And I read a great article in the Brook Network, which gave such a great illustration about our outcome, which is living the Bible when we read our Bibles. And because I thought, often we tell people these big thoughts, and then how do we do this? How do we live this out? How do we read the Bible? And how does the Holy Spirit do this? Well, as we read the Bible, he will use that implanted word of God to transform us. So in such a way that maybe the next time you need to forgive someone, it's becoming a little bit more automatic because you're so full of that life-giving oxygen. You're breathing in Christ. You're breathing in God. And the next time somebody, comes a need, present it from the front or anyone, you don't have to think, oh, maybe I better pray about, should I really give? Should I visit that neighbor? Should I call that friend? Those responses will become more and more automatic because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is transforming us. Our instincts and motives are being shaped by the Holy Spirit so that these godly decisions happen more automatically, because the Holy Spirit does the work in our hearts. You know, I read an amazing book by Max Lucado on love, because I want to love people more. And so I thought this book would be like, how to love more. But what this book was, an explanation of how much God loves me. All the scriptures about God's love with me, because Max Lucado, the writer's point was, when you know you are loved, when you operate from that point of view, I am loved, you will love. So when we know we are kept safe with the Lord, we know who we are in Christ, we know that our life is hidden in him, we can operate from that position of security, because we have allowed that oxygen just to permeate every bit of our body. I have asthma. I know what it's like not to breathe. And when I am able to breathe, when I take that little inhaler and everything opens up and I think, oh, I'm breathing again, it's such a great feeling. And so when we dwell with the Lord and in him, those responses like breathing, we won't even really have to think about it because we're being transformed into his image. Just like the mother and the baby in her womb, the child grows as it receives life from within the mama. Ephesians 3 is a very good verse. Verses 17 to 19. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That is a process. You know, and part of that process, part of that breathing oxygen is read your Bible. Now, I really thought about my journey with reading the Bible. When I was a young girl, I grew up in the Apostolic Church, and they used the King James Version or the Lutheran Version, and it was very formal English. And it was hard as a child to comprehend those things. When I study, I study from a New King James Version because I believe that to be very biblically accurate. And I was thinking today, if any of you want to know anything about translations and what a good one is, there's Brian Engbers there who would be able to give you some really good tips on. But when I teach the children, I have studied from the New King James Version, but I read to them from the NIV because I know if I'm speaking to kids in New King James Version, they might not be able to receive that. So find a translation, find a Bible study, find something that God has created you to receive. God can speak to you through the King James Version if that's what you have, because he is God and the Holy Spirit can open things up. But we live in North America and so many things have been made ready for us that we can have options and we can have choices. So if you don't have a Bible plan, YouVersion is so great. It's so tailor-made for any situation. Fear, anxiety, love, women, men's studies, children, young adults, unemployment, you name it, it's there. And you can find that to help you. So take in that oxygen. And sometimes we think, oh, one little sip was enough. Probably it won't be. When you think of oxygen, you need a constant supply to survive, and you need to be constantly in communion with God to make that possible. But he wants that to be natural, and just the way we breathe, not some sort of formal thing, but a life, so that when you're walking and breathing and reading the word, it just becomes so much part of who you are, because that's what Jesus did. Now, the other purpose, Jesus wants us to know who we are in him. And the other purpose is in John 17, verse 21b, that the world may believe that you sent me. And that's the thing that we live out when, like, John, our friend John, shared, when we go into the world, we were invited to a wonderful prison fellowship ministry evening. Those are the moments when we are in the seat beside the person and we have our oxygen mask on and we see that they do not. Like, you wouldn't want to receive help from someone who was flapping about, running, and trying to tell you how to put the oxygen mask on while they're not wearing it. You think, oh, please, hon, put it on yourself first, because I'm more worried about you than maybe you are about me. So I would just say, look, like I look at people when I want help who know what they're talking about. And so when I told my sister about our aunt's passing, I knew I couldn't come in there crying and wailing, because she needed comfort in that moment. And God gave such great grace. I apologize for not having that with you for a moment today, but it was just that lifeline look, you know, that people have and look in your eyes and say, do you really live what you're telling me right now? Are you really at peace? Yes, I am. Not because I'm so great, because I spend some time with the Father. And so we want to be the person with a mask on, and we want to not just be selfish and think, I'm breathing, I'm so glad I'm receiving life, but look around at the people in your life that God has put in your sphere of influence, or he's calling you to say, who do you know that isn't wearing that mask? Or who do you know that mask is slipping a little bit? And maybe they need encouragement to say, can you put that mask on? Do you remember that we need to really be connected to the life flow? Because our friends and neighbors will see we walk without even saying a word, our whole body language, our demeanors. People can see pretty much who you are. You can mask it for a while, but pretty much people know who we are by how we are ordinarily. You know, and so we want to be the light. We want to be that city on a hill. And then the promise we can share with them, that God in John 8, in John 10, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. It's living, really actually living in that secure knowledge. Now, I know we had, the message was kind of short, but I really think maybe there is real room for a response today. The first response would be, are you connected to the source of life? Is there anyone here who hasn't made to be made a decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And we kind of like to use ABC blocks to make it so easy, because Jesus makes it easy, because he's always knocking and say, just open the door, I'm here. Accept that you are a sinner and need saving. Remember our image of the oxygen mask. You need to be connected. Believe that Jesus is the source of all life, your Savior. And then confess Jesus as your Savior. Today would be such an awesome day to begin that journey. In Romans 3:23, we read, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I had a conversation with someone a couple of weeks ago that said, oh, you're such a good Christian. There's no such thing as a good Christian. We are all sinners saved by grace. Now, when I say we're all sinners saved by grace, I want us to remember our position. We're sons and daughters. And so we act accordingly. We don't have to hang our heads down. But I'm not any more of a better Christian than anyone else. Daily, I realize my own shortcomings and failures. But we are sons and daughters. Our position is in Christ Jesus. So all of us, myself included, have had to come to Jesus and say, I need you. So today would be so perfect for you. You just have to admit you're not living in a right relationship with Jesus. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Also, something really neat happened to me today when I thought, is this the right message to give? I have this flip calendar at home that tells the journey of our family, birthdays, passings, anniversaries, all this thing, and my church family too. Some of you are on there. And today, one of Jacqueline and Danny's foster kids, former foster kids, popped in, because Chris and I were able to take him years ago to a little yogurt place called Menchie's, because he had questions. He had questions about life, about his parents, and you know what? We were able to lead him to the Lord right in Menchie's. Isn't that great? That was such a great memory. I thought, thank you, Lord. You orchestrate days and times, and you just want us to show up and have our oxygen mask on. Or maybe today, you need to tighten that oxygen mask on your own face. You need to start breathing in the oxygen for yourself. Maybe you've just been taking short little breaths and then thinking, okay, I'm good. But you know, the Holy Spirit will help you even if it's a thing of timing, the Lord will show you what the time is. Maybe it's as simple as finding a version of the Bible or Bible plan that speaks in a way you can understand. And we can come alongside one another and help with that. The altars will be open with that. If you need help, if you think, oh yes, I know that oxygen mask has slipped just a little bit. Or maybe you think, no, I don't want to take help from anyone else, because I've watched those kind of demonstrations long enough and I think I know what I'm doing. But sometimes we don't. And sometimes we need each other's help, and that's why we're all here. And do you need to see maybe that you are calm in the storm? Do you need to just have someone remind you again, you know what, it's okay. God is with us, and no matter what circumstance, he'll help you through it.